We live in a world of unprecedented abundance.
For the first time in human history, most of us have immediate access to virtually unlimited sources of pleasure, from sugar-laden foods to streaming entertainment, social media validation to pornography, all available 24/7 with minimal effort.
Yet, paradoxically, rates of depression, anxiety, and addiction continue to rise.
Why are we more miserable despite having more of everything?
The answer lies in understanding dopamine, the neurotransmitter central to our brain's reward system.
Discovered in 1957, dopamine doesn't actually create pleasure itself. It drives the anticipation and motivation to seek rewards.
When we engage in pleasurable activities, dopamine surges, creating that feeling of wanting more.
The higher the dopamine spike, the greater the addiction potential.
Think about checking your phone. That little thrill you get from a notification isn't unlike what happens in a drug user's brain. Studies show smartphone use can trigger dopamine releases comparable to some substances of abuse.
We've essentially surrounded ourselves with what Stanford psychiatrist Anna Lemke calls masturbation machines, devices and experiences specifically engineered to deliver maximum pleasure with minimal effort.
The problem isn't just the availability of these pleasures, it's how our brains respond to them over time.
Our neurological systems weren't designed for this environment of abundance.
They evolved in conditions of scarcity, where pleasure was rare and hard-earned.
Now we're drowning in dopamine, and our brains are desperately trying to maintain balance.
Imagine a neurological seesaw with pleasure on one side and pain on the other, a metaphor for how our brain maintains equilibrium through an opponent process mechanism. When we experience pleasure, the brain actively works to counterbalance that sensation. The greater the pleasure, the stronger the opposing pain response, which explains why drug highs lead to crashes and shopping sprees end in guilt. Pleasure and pain are processed in overlapping brain regions, with dopamine playing a central role. Each pleasurable experience creates a debt that must be repaid through discomfort. Through repeated exposure to high dopamine activities, our brains develop tolerance through neuroadaptation. The pleasure-pain balance shifts, requiring increasingly larger stimuli to achieve the same effect. Consider caffeine, your first cup of coffee versus your current needs. This principle extends to sugar, social media, and beyond. The more we consume, the less satisfaction we get, until we're merely avoiding withdrawal rather than seeking enjoyment.
Consider David's story. A college student with normal academic anxiety who was quickly diagnosed with ADD and generalized anxiety disorder, then prescribed Adderall and Paxil. What began as a seemingly helpful intervention led to dependence, leaving him unable to function without medications. His case exemplifies a broader trend, the medicalization of ordinary emotions. Sadness becomes depression, nervousness becomes anxiety disorder, and normal attention variations become ADD. We've created pharmaceutical solutions for common human experiences. This pattern extends to parenting, where children sheltered from all discomfort often struggle with resilience later in life. Their parents, though well-meaning, deny them chances to develop emotional strength through overcoming challenges. The paradox is clear. Despite unprecedented prosperity and medical advances, happiness levels are declining worldwide, especially in wealthy nations. Americans report more physical and emotional pain than those in poorer countries. Throughout history, discomfort was seen as essential for growth. Today, we avoid it through endless entertainment and medication, perhaps losing touch with our fundamental humanity in the process.
When our pleasure-pain balance tips toward pain, a 4-week break from the substance or behavior allows the brain's reward pathways to reset. For many, like cannabis-dependent Delilah, a month without their dopamine source seems daunting. Yet after quitting, she found her anxiety had improved, revealing that her coping substance was the source of her distress. Mindfulness during abstinence creates space between impulse and action, teaching us to observe cravings with compassion. This practice, paired with the neurological reset, reveals the behavior's true impact. The reset leads to a choice: maintain abstinence or attempt moderation with clear boundaries. For many, moderation proves risky, as small amounts can trigger relapse. This period isn't just about avoiding triggers, it's about rediscovering natural pleasures. As dopamine receptors heal, everyday experiences regain their appeal, from enjoying food to finding satisfaction in simple activities.
Self-binding, deliberately creating obstacles between ourselves and temptation, is a powerful tool for managing dopamine-driven behaviors. This ancient concept is illustrated by Odysseus having himself tied to his ship's mast to resist the siren's call. Modern self-binding takes three main forms. Physical self-binding creates literal barriers. A recovering addict might install filtering software and keep computers in public areas, while others use timed lockboxes for smartphones or credit cards. Chronological self-binding sets time constraints, allowing indulgences only during specific periods. For example, someone struggling with alcohol might permit drinks only on Saturdays. Categorical self-binding involves avoiding entire classes of triggers. A recovering sports bettor might stop watching games or listening to sports radio to prevent gambling urges. These strategies acknowledge that willpower alone often fails. By creating external constraints, we protect ourselves from high dopamine temptations and support our brain's decision-making systems. While some can practice moderation, others need complete abstinence. Success depends on honest self-assessment and willing adjustment of strategies.
What if, instead of pursuing pleasure, we deliberately engaged with discomfort? This counterintuitive approach might restore balance to our dopamine systems. Michael, a former Silicon Valley executive and recovering addict, found this through cold water immersion. Regular ice baths provided not just physical challenge, but a natural dopamine release that supported his sobriety. This relates to hormesis, the principle that moderate stress strengthens organisms. Studies show controlled exposure to mild stressors enhances human resilience. Exercise exemplifies this beneficial stress, triggering endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine while promoting neurogenesis. Even pain itself can treat pain, as shown in modern medical techniques like transcranial magnetic stimulation, which uses controlled discomfort to activate the body's endogenous opioid system. Alex Honnold, famous for free soloing El Capitan, demonstrates how systematic exposure to fear expands human capabilities. Rather than lacking fear, Honnold trained himself to function despite it, a broadly applicable skill. While our culture emphasizes comfort, traditions from Stoicism to Buddhism recognize that avoiding suffering leads to weakness, while engaging with difficulty builds strength.
In our dopamine-saturated culture, finding equilibrium requires counterintuitive practices, periods of abstinence to reset reward pathways, and self-binding strategies that create space between desire and consumption. The pursuit of pain through exercise, cold exposure, or facing challenges can paradoxically lead to more sustainable pleasure than constant comfort seeking. Radical honesty transforms isolation into connection, providing natural rewards that don't require escalation. These approaches embrace difficulty as part of a well-lived life. When our neurological systems function as designed, ordinary pleasures regain their luster. In a world promising consequence-free pleasure, accepting the natural rhythm of pain and pleasure becomes revolutionary. By finding meaning beyond the next dopamine hit, we reclaim both our neurological balance and our humanity.